Welcome, friends. Welcome into the Patreon bonus podcast. A lot of you are blaming Hilljack Internet for the problem. But unfortunately, well, it's not that simple this time. It wasn't because of Hilljack Internet. And by the way, the radio station has like some partnership deal with Faygo. Some of you who aren't in Michigan don't know what Faygo is. Maybe you do. I don't know. I don't know why this is. This is an underrated beverage, Faygo. The grape is fantastic. I love it all. They got a new one called Dreamin' Orange. And Dreamin' Orange tastes like a creamsicle. It's orange cream soda. So you know those orange ice cream treats with the vanilla inside? It's like that. Chris says, how was Skankfoot? Oh, you mean the band? Yeah, I'll get to that in a second. But my problems in starting this podcast, you know, it's a once, twice, it was fucking it up. Here's the deal. I got it all set. And for me to get it all set, I mean, like I said, there's so much boring shit that goes on to get this thing going. It's remarkable. So then I'm like, okay, I got all my ducks in a row and I hit it. And then this laptop that's controlling this, I moved it. And the Ethernet, I just figured out that plugs in from the computer to the modem. You know, I hard line it in and that gives me the best chance of getting a solid signal. It fell out. Like the jack fell out of the computer. And I'm like, oh no! And now when that happens, it's not as simple as just plug it back in and everything's on. And so, but I did. And then I thought, well, maybe it worked. I don't know. And then, stupid. So then I had to go back and start it all over again. This is a real, exercise in patience. To be able to do this, you really have to be a patient soul. Like if I lose my patience, the shit's going to hit the fan. Oops. What the fuck am I doing here? And I'll be tempted to like throw something. But I just said, okay, stay calm. There's nothing. It's nothing you can't fix. It's part of the charm of how much of an idiot you are. So this is not the fault this time of HughesNet, which Nick says 2005 Starlink greater than 2005 HughesNet. Hashtag Musk 2028. That is Musk. Starlink is Musk. Oh, all right. That makes sense. Nick says, send your mama straight up to the store. Tell that bitch to bring home a Faygo. Insane clown posse. Yeah, I love Faygo. And then Maureen, she doesn't like that creamsicle. You're fucking great. Gross yourself. I don't know why I said that. It's just you don't like it. But anyway, Faygo grape. I love it all. This is the grape one. This is like a commercial for him. I don't know how more people don't love this. I don't know how you guys don't love this. It's so damn cheap, too. Like a 2-liter costs like $1.50. It's got to make you cause or get cancer or something, right? No wonder why you like Faygo, Linda says. It tastes like ass. I don't think Zane is supposed to wear that shirt on the podcast. Oh, that's right. I was with the Take Our Sign Down. You know, in hindsight, that may have been one of the most hurtful things that has ever been said to me. Yeah, Eric, we're so happy that you're on the radio station with us. Can you please take the sign down you have behind us? What? What? And then I had the conversation with the number one, and I said, you hired me without listening to my podcast, didn't you? She goes, that is correct. And I'm like, all right, I understand. I know. I mean, I get it. I really do. You don't want people telling people to go fuck themselves with your sign behind me. I get it. But this is the disconnect. Because that was number one. Number two, JC, when we were discussing taking this job on, he said, so yeah, you get on the air and make sure you tell everybody about your podcast. Now, he's listened to it. And I actually said, I go, I don't know if that's a great idea. Podcast is kind of like it's okay. It's fine. But we're in the golden age of the things I talk about. I mean, all it would take is more the right people to hear my podcast and people try to fuck me up somehow. Okay. And especially if I'm over here like dogging Trump or something like that, and one of these hill jacks hears that. The hill jacks have finally figured out how to cancel somebody. So they would, that could happen. And now the hill, you know, who knows what the hell could happen. Nick says, love Faygo and Better Made Chips. Buy local. Right. Verner's ginger ale. I remember one time I had, when Ted Nugent was on Z93 one time. And he's sitting there. And he always likes to have Verner's. So my boss said, easy. Go to the store and buy a case of Verner's for when Ted gets here. He's going to want that. I go, okay, sounds good. So I go get the fucking Verner's. And this is one of my many roles at Z93. I was one time the mascot. I was Z-Cat. I dressed up like the goddamn cat with the big head on at like the blood drive. Go get Ted some Verner's. I go all the way to fucking store, get Verner's, bring it back. And he goes, I don't drink that shit anymore. I go, what? Yeah, they make it with corn syrup. I only drink it if it has sugar. Like, what? Yes, I only drink it if it's natural. I don't drink that manufactured corn syrup. I am with the spirit of the wild. Sugar, butter, whole milk, and backstraps. Aram says, I can't believe they try to tell the Toon Man what to do. We are live as hell, man. We're going to jerk you all over our face, man. Oh, God. From the Lost Zane recordings. Fantastic. I already forgot what I was fucking talking about. Anyway, I forget how I started. I closed that. I go to the thing to go do the damn concert. And this band is up there. And they're really good. Three-piece band. Bass, guitar, singer, and a drummer. They're laying it down. It's weird because I go there and there's no one there. And I introduce myself to the band. I said, okay, so where are you playing next? Where can people find you? Okay, I'll go do a bang-up job. I'll intro you. And there was no one there. Nobody. Like one mom. And then I go, I can't wait to hear you play. And then my truck is right to the right of the stage. So the second I got done introing them, they're probably four notes in, and I'm getting into my truck. And I'm like just like hiding, trying not to let them see me. I get the fuck out of there, come back here. Dogs go for a walk. I go to bed. Wake up. Go back there. Actually, prior to that band going on stage, I forgot my sunglasses. So I need a pair of sunglasses. So I'm walking around, I'm walking up to the gas station. And fucking JC is there. He's actually doing a broadcast at the gas station. And I see him, and he goes, "What are you doing?" I go, I got to get some sunnies. He goes, "Oh, I got a pair for you." I go, "You do?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he opens up like this plastic Rubbermaid tote. And it's all like the shit you get when you go to a radio station event when you want like free prizes. And so he's going through the antenna balls and the keychains and the t-shirts that say Q100. And he opens up a bag and he goes, "Here you go." And they're bright yellow sunglasses that say Twisted Tea on the fucking front. And I go, "Are you kidding?" "No, I mean, they're free." I go, "I don't give a shit if you're paying me. I'm not going to put these on my goddamn face. Twisted Tea sunglasses? Fuck you." And I give them back to him. I go, "I'm going to go buy a pair." He goes, "No, I got a pair." And he goes in his car, his truck. He goes, "I'm going to let you use these. I'm going to see you later on. These are $240 sunglasses." I go, "I don't want them. I'm going to lose them." He goes, "No, you're not. I'll see you later." He goes, I go, "I haven't ever paid. I pay $2 for sunglasses. I always fuck them up or lose them." He goes, "Well, these are very expensive." I go, "What's the difference?" He goes, "Well, take a look at how you look." And I put the sunglasses on and I look at it. It looks like this. And he goes, "Look at how good you look." And I'm like, "Okay, so I'm ugly before the sunglasses and I put your goddamn sunglasses. Now I'm attractive." Which, by the way, he's so goddamn tall that, and I'm so short that when I talk to him, I literally have to look up like this. And I'm looking directly up his nose, and he doesn't manicure his nose hairs well, and they're white. And so it looks like a couple of fucking white party favors shooting out of his nose. And then, you know, I could have swore I saw a bug on one of the hairs, you know, one of those bat in the cave. And so that was weird. Anyway, take the sunglasses, walk back, do the band thing, leave. Wake up from my nap, drive back. He's there. I give him his sunglasses. Okay, great. There's a band going on stage. I introduce myself to them. "Hey, how are you? All right, yeah, I'm going to go up stage, introduce them." There's probably 10 people. Get down. JC goes, "Hey," he thinks that I'm staying there. Okay. And he goes, "While you're here milling with the fans, I want you to do some call-ins to the radio station to let them know you're here and to come see you while you're broadcasting live." I go, "Yeah, you got it, man." And then he leaves. So then I go and I get in my truck, and while I'm driving back here, I'm on the phone with the guy on the air going, "Oh, yeah, this is awesome. Come see me. I'm broadcasting live. I'm right over by the corner of First and Main. I'm the one wearing a Q100 shirt. Come say hi." Fucking A. Here I sit now trying to get this goddamn show started, and then the stupid Ethernet cable falls out of the fucking side of the computer. Fuck me. But yet we press on. Jeremy says, "How does JC get the good gig while you're stuck at craft fair?" Fuck, I don't know. I guess low man on the totem pole, perhaps.
Hi, Ruthie.
All right. Now the final band goes on. Like, I've got one more. I got a stage announcement at 7 p.m. 6:03 right now as I speak. Look how white Bruce's face is getting, by the way. He's only like, let's see, 18. He's only 6. He looks like he's 100. 7 o'clock, yeah, make a stage announcement. And then I think another band goes out at 9:30. I was like, I don't want to do that shit. I don't want to be driving back there. Aram says, I'm starting to understand why Eric created Eric Zane. He was tired of being insulted by everyone. Hey, maybe. Maybe, Aram. Nick says, I went walleye fishing yesterday and forgot my sunglasses. Dude offered me some Kardashian-looking yellow sunglasses from the glove box. No thanks. I'm just going to squint. Walleye. Oh, what a delicious, delicious fish. You know that walleye, not walleye, but perch right now is more expensive than lobster. Charity Scam Mike told me that. He's a big perch fisherman. You can buy more lobster than you can perch. I mean, perch is more expensive. I don't know what I love more, perch or walleye. I like walleye better. Walleye to me is a little bit, it's got a little bit more thud to it, you know? They're really spectacular.
Oh my God, big guy.
All right. The hell do I want to talk about? I got a bunch of, oh, when I was talking about like people canceling, there's a story in the news that Chris Perry just sent me. Some guy who's been on radio forever in Buffalo. I don't think Chris likes him because when he sent the story, he said the guy's a douche. But this guy, his name is Tom Tiberi. Uh-oh, I thought for a second there Bruce just fucked up my computer, but he didn't. He made a post on Facebook of it, for some reason, I don't know the significance of it because it happened before the guy tried to shoot Trump in the head. He posted a meme that had Putin and Trump in coffins. And that's all it really says about it. He posted that a couple days before the assassination attempt. And nobody blinked. Well, we all know what happened to Trump. And then some wise ass screenshotted it and, you know, put it out to the world. Said, look at what this guy did. They're saying now, the narrative is that he put it out after, you know, in poor taste. And, you know, we've learned that that's probably not, I mean, that is not a good thing to do. There's no question. I mean, Kyle Gass, that whole deal. Well, a handful of people, according to this guy, bombarded Cumulus Media with they would post all the top brass, their names and their emails and phone numbers. And, you know, they went on a campaign to fuck them up. That's what Kristen Megyn Kelly and her lemmings tried to do to me when I made that crack about the kid eating a vagina. And they went all in. Of course, the only ones that really had a hard time with it was Baldwin Ace Hardware. The rest of them, especially Joe Martinez, actually told that bitch to go fuck herself. He's the one who sent me the clip of her leaving the goddamn message. But these guys didn't stop. And Cumulus, you know, it's pretty easy to get someone fired from there. So they fired him. He says, was it in poor taste? Yes, it was. However, the point I need to stress is that this meme was put up before the assassination attempt on Saturday. I then took it down immediately. However, by then, a small but well-organized group of far-right extremists on Facebook had taken a screenshot of my meme and posted it all over public Facebook and to their private far-right Facebook groups. This included posting phone numbers and email addresses of my bosses. And they're going to fold every time, you know. Tiberi's post goes on to say that the group succeeded in getting him fired from 97 Rock, where he has spent most of his career. Q Cumulus local management crumbled under the pressure from this small group of lunatics. His post continued, make no mistake, this was a well-organized hit job. Cumulus officials weren't immediately available to comment. Yeah, that's a bummer. I honestly think it's his fault. He should have known that this was going to happen. I mean, who doesn't think that? I mean, for him to suddenly now just figure out that the far right are going to do whatever they can to fuck you up is probably pretty silly on his part. Chris says he was an annoying fuckstick. He was one of them. We're going to play a deep cut, DJ, but the song would be like Kashmir by Led Zeppelin. Bob says, you're saying it wrong. It's pronounced lobster. That's true. Got to say it right. So anyway, that fucking moron is fired. Been wanting to get to this. And I don't know if I will because I'm getting the spinning wheel of death. Maybe I will. I don't know. I just refreshed it. I'm hoping I do. Guy named Deshaun Foster is a new football coach at UCLA. They're having the big media days for the football team. And it's important because a lot of those schools from the Pac-10, which is a Western conference, they've joined the Big Ten. The Big Ten is now like 18 teams or some shit. So you got all these high-powered Pac-10 schools coming to the Big Ten. It's going to make these pretty interesting. Well, so this dude. He's a brand new coach. All right? And he's getting dragged because this was his first time he's meeting the press. And boy, remember that old, this camera's shaking because Bruce is making a ruckus over there. You can't see him. Remember that episode of the Brady Bunch when, I forget which one of the girls gets freaked out when she's on TV. She's just staring at the camera. She gets the yips. That may be what happened to this coach. Let's take a listen and a watch of Deshaun Foster. Sorry about the delay.
Foster, welcome to the Big Ten. We'll begin with your opening statement.
How you guys doing? I'm happy to be here. Glad to be a part of this great conference. Finally putting two great emblems together, UCLA and the Big Ten. We're a school that's won, 123 championships, so this fits us being right in this conference. Football-wise, we're just excited. You know, I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in L.A.
Okay, this is when he's starting to fall apart. I'm sure you don't know much about our football program. Well, these are sports writers. They probably know quite a bit about you. And then to go to where you're located. Here's a little bit about our football program. We're in Los Angeles. And now he's circling the drain.
It's us and USC. I'm just basically excited, really. That's it.
Okay, that is a... Joe Biden looks at that and says, oh my God, this guy's fucked up. Holy shit. A little bit about UCLA. We're in L.A. and along with USC and then that's it. That's all he said.
23 championships, so this fits us being right in this conference. Football-wise, we're just excited. You know, I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in L.A. It's us and USC. I'm just basically excited, really. That's it. Any questions?
In a second.
Oh. I'm going to tell you a little bit about UCLA, and then he told us they're in Los Angeles, and that's all he knows? Oh, my God. And then all the Justin wet gash mouth noises. Oh my God. Chris says you're in Los Angeles. Color me fucking shocked. A lot of Freeburn Howling Show interns made similar noises to this coach. Yeah, it was like an intern view. Oh my God. Oh, that poor dude. You know, I think going forward, he has to have an interview about this. Like he needs to, someone needs to say, coach, so what happened there? Similar to like when the players struggle or something like, hey, what happened to number 85? Coach, what happened to you and your brain? That was great. You see, and now he needs to lean into it. No one likes somebody who takes the Weasley way out and doesn't address this fantastic moment that took place. You have got to lean in. Trust me on this. If you try to slide on by it, whatever, do whatever the fuck, it's just not going to work. You got to, this could lead to something bad if you don't lean into it. Ladies and gentlemen, you know how much I love World War II, D-Day stories, you know, something like that. American history, we're talking like Saving Private Ryan stuff. Well, we got a guy in Grand Rapids who was one of the dudes, like one of the first dudes to land on Normandy Beach. And he just turned 100. And they just had a birthday party for the guy. And they're going to talk about it. But not only was he on Normandy Beach, but he was like the first ones that were there. Like it was his job to blow up all the fucking shit, demolition, to make room for the ones he was like expected to die. And he just turned 100 years old. Are you kidding me? And he talks in this and he sounds pretty good. He sounds great, actually, for a 100-year-old dude. Let's check this out.
This man who survived D-Day turned 100 today.
Henry Pelak's West Side neighborhood celebrated his birthday along with members of the American Legion Riders who showed up on big bikes.
Pelak was 19 on June 6th, 1944, when he was part of the first wave. Known as the spearhead of D-Day that hit Omaha Beach in Nazi-occupied France. He says he was on the first boat that carried Navy and Army combat demolition experts. His job was to blow up obstacles and clear the way for the infantry. He says 90% of that first wave were killed.
The invasion of Normandy, the largest seaborne invasion in history, marked the beginning of the end of World War II. Today, he teared up as he thanked well-wishers.
Honey, happy people.
This is the American Legion Riders.
Makes me happy.
Yeah. We're happy to be here for you. This is from us to you.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
100. Unbelievable.
That's awesome.
I think you're looking great.
You are.
America. Yeah. I see that many nice people doing things that make them happy. It makes me happy.
Now give me some pussy.
And that makes me happy seeing you happy, Henry. Last month, I talked to Kelak about
They should give him some. I mean, my God. 100. And he was just 19. He's killing Nazis, for fuck's sake. See, these are the type of veterans that, you know how, like, I make fun of a guy who on the back of his car, he says, yeah, I'm a retired veteran. I did 4 years at Camp Pendleton. You know, whatever. I'm not impressed. Who gives a shit? I'm more interested in 19-year-old storming the beaches of Normandy, goddammit. That, to me, is the guy that, it's cool to wear the hat. Those guys are cool. The Korean veterans are cool. The Vietnam veterans. Those guys in the jungle getting wasted. Any combat veteran that was in Iraq or Afghanistan, I mean, actually in combat, they're allowed to brag. If no one has ever fired a weapon at you, you shouldn't even be allowed to tell anybody you were in the service. Like my brother, Norman Bummer. He built bombs that would go on planes. And I said, you're not allowed to tell anybody you're in the military. Why? I go, it's because who gives a fuck? You weren't fighting. You're in a goddamn warehouse. Shut up. And you got paid. It was your job. There was no danger to you whatsoever. You were an Air Force pussy making bombs. Shut the fuck up. Bob says, damn ninjas cutting onions. Hold on, I gotta see this. All right. That was the most interesting. Kenny says it was almost. Oh, no. Linda says he could be president right now at 100. He could probably carry on a conversation better than Biden. Okay, I gotta go. I gotta go announce some band. Thanks for your patience, as always. You guys are great. Oh, my God. I love you so much. But, here you go. Enjoy the rest of the day. Till next time, thank you, folks, and bye-bye. Hello to you. Welcome into the Eric Dane Show podcast. There's Darla. She says hi already. It is a daily show. Frame that up a little better. And coming to you from the Impact Power Sports Fear Bunker North Studio. I'm not going to lie to you. This is going to be a 100% abbreviated show. And the reason why I didn't just blow it off altogether, it's like, you know, because these people worry about you, Easy. So get after it and put something out there, something interesting. And as usual, I have something interesting and fun to talk about. But let me just give you a little background and start off by saying that I have to be out the door leaving here at 1:20 for craft show. It's 12:20. Now, what I didn't count on is that you need to be at the radio station 1 hour before the start of the craft show event to load up the station vehicle with, all the things you need to do to put on the broadcast. It's been decades since I've had to do this. But, you know, this is small town. This isn't a gigantic setup. Your goddamn camera is crooked. It's driving me crazy. I'm looking at myself. I feel like I'm watching an old episode of 1960s Batman. Tyler's suggesting that I had the shits and was ill from eating a 20-year-old MRE. No. However, something about the MRE does factor into my story. Let me just get to what I promoted on the title of this show about getting infiltrated by wildlife. Right now, as I'm looking, you can see in the camera, I'm looking beyond the camera. What I see is mouse shit. While I slept, we had the first instance. See, typically when I show up here at Fear Bunker North, the mice stay away when I'm active inside of here. You know, there's dogs everywhere and the mice are like smart enough to stay away or at least remain in hiding. But not so last night. The mice had had enough. And they had a fucking party. And I guess the entertainment was go around and shit on shit. Because that's what I woke up to. I get up. It's 4:50 in the morning. I have to let the dogs out. After doing that, I go over to my little area back there behind me and get their food ready. And I notice, do you remember the story that I told you about when I prepared that MRE, the cheese ravioli, the cheese and sauce ravioli from the MRE? And I got it all ready and I put it into a bowl and O'Neill ate it when I turned my back for just a second. Well, I took that bowl and I just put it next to the sink. And I have to do the dishes by hand here. And I hadn't gotten around to it. So there's a little bit, well, there's quite a bit of like red sauce residue on the inside of the bowl that's like caked into it. And I have to wash it and I will. And I had been wondering, I've been saying, you know, I wonder if that is an attraction for the mice. And now I know it is, but I'm like, should I clean it? Should I clean it? I just don't fucking want to. Shit. Well, it's okay. Good news, guys. Because the mice cleaned it for me. And that was obvious as I'm preparing the dog's food this morning. I go, what the fuck? And that bowl is licked clean. And in place of that, there is probably 25 little tiny mouse shits. Vermin shits. So while the guy is cleaning the bowl, he's shitting. They shit all the time, mice. That's all they do is shit and wreck shit. Oh, so that's really a bummer, right, Darla? Because, I mean, I know that they're still here, but I don't like interact with them like that. Maureen says the mice all have red sauce all over them. We're going to get red sauce all over our face. So that was horrible. And now everywhere I look, I'm finding they just wandered the area at that point. They said, hey, this dumb fuck's leaving food out. Let's go search the place. That's pretty gross, you know. This is why Pooh Bear won't stay here. I don't blame her. Only a real animal like me would be like, ah, no problem. Don't worry about it. Chris is here. He says, sup, Tune Man. So, let me back up. This is going to be a, Bob says, MREs will just go right through you, even mice. Tyler says, a quote from the mice. Kill our cousins, will you? We'll say goodbye to your red sauce residue, and here's a bunch of shit while you're at it, you long-nosed bastard. I was talking with a Charity Scam Mike the other day. I was like, I don't know. I think I might be done with the trailer. I might be at my wit's end. He goes, what are you going to do? I go, well, I'd get rid of it. He was like, yeah, I know, but what are you going to put up in its place? I go, well, I was thinking about a cabin. And he goes, dude, yes. Dig a well, put up a pole barn for the snowmobiles. It'll be our little utopia. He goes, well, if you build one, then I don't have to build one. So I guess he's expecting me to make it big enough so that he can stay. And I go, oh, yeah, whatever. I don't give a shit. So now that's going through my brain. Chris says it would suck if it got hit by some Jewish lightning. Well, it's not insured. I don't think I have insurance. That doesn't matter. Fuck it. But Pooh Bear wants me to burn it down. Aram says, from a survival of the fittest perspective, I feel bad for Eric. In the wild, between O'Neill taking his MREs and the mice taking up the scraps, I don't think Eric will survive. Okay, so last night, I'm at like the Battle of the Bands or whatever that was. My final band to introduce. And it's getting late. I don't like to be out this late. And I talked to the guy who's the lead singer of the band. His name is Andy. Now, you got to understand, this is Andy's Madison Square Garden moment for his band. You have a couple hundred people, mixed bag of people from kids to the like very elderly and everything in between that are just sitting around drinking cheap beer outdoors. It's a nice night. They just want to be entertained. Old Andy from the band says to me, I go, so what have you been? I always like to have a conversation with these guys before I introduce them. It's easier to introduce them when I have just some working knowledge of what they've been up to. And one of the things he says to me, he goes, well, this is a big show for us. Easy. And I go, how so, Andy? He says, well, you know, we've been playing all these dive bars and I just got sick of that. I just got sick of these small venues. So to get the opportunity to be in front of Canoe Fest's crowd, this is a huge moment for us. All right, buddy. I go, you got anything coming up? I need to talk. But he goes, no, this is it. We're working on new music. Tell everybody about our website. They're called the Knockoffs, KNOCKAUFFS. About 5 minutes before they're getting ready to go on, I hear, God damn it! Well, we can't do our show! And I'm like, uh-oh. Now, all I'm thinking about is, I gotta go. Whatever it is that caused that exclamation by mild-mannered Andy, That's concerning to me. I got to get up in the morning. So I'm kind of like paying attention. I walk over to the sound guy. What the fuck's going on? He goes, I don't know, man. Doesn't look good. A little bit more information comes out. Somehow, the computer monitor broke. And they need that. I don't know anything about setting up a band. But I guess everything on their setup goes through this computer first, and then it goes through the engineer. They need that. And I'm not asking any questions. I'm just paying attention. And I realized that all our click tracks are on there. Computer screens broke. We can't click on them on our click tracks. Now, I'm not exactly sure what a click track is. But I think it's something that has to do with the timing of the band. Some of you who know something about music know what a click track is. But it doesn't matter. All that matters is the computer is working, but the monitor is broke. So we got people trying to troubleshoot. And this sweet lady from the radio station named Kat, she goes, she disappears. And she's able to go into one of the local businesses that's still open and sweet talks them into unplugging their monitor and letting the band use it. So within moments, she's running across the street with a monitor. I'm like, this is like out of a film. So then one of the powers that be says, "Easy, get up there and kill some time. Can you go crack some jokes?" Quote, "crack some jokes." And I'm like, ugh. You know what they said? Talk about the craft show. Promote the craft show. Jeremy says a click track is a metronome. It clicks on the beat and goes into their ear in monitors. Thank you. So I go up there. I go, "Hey, does I'm going to go. I'm doing what I'm told. Show must go on." So I go, and I have to announce, "Hey, technical difficulties." Andy's like, "God damn it." Which was described by Kenny that Andy there had an Eric Zane moment. I go walking up and sound guy gives me a microphone. I go, "Hey, everybody. Welcome to the main stage for Riverfest. My name's Eric Zane from Q100, saving rock and roll one listener at a time." Chris says, "Did you have a Ben Glaze moment?" Hey, oh, yeah. Oh, how about the weather? No, I don't, I'm not going to crack any jokes. You know, that would be so weird. But I started with this. This is what I started with. All right. Who in the audience is related to, in some way, to one of the paddlers for the big race? And you hear a spattering of, hey, I am. And I go, "Yeah, I see you. You fired up? I know you're fired up. Yeah, right. Yeah. How about this? Do we have any actual paddlers here for the canoe marathon?" Ooh, a few less people. I go, "Oh, yeah, you're staying out late. Past your bedtime, you should be resting up. Yeah, fuck yeah, I see you. I got you. Yeah, yeah, easy ride." I go, "Well, listen, knockoffs here. They're putting together just some final preparations notes about their big finale. Maybe a couple technical snafus going on. We're getting it worked out right now." "Goddamn son of a bitch." Andy's screaming, "Hey, it's Eric Zane, and uncommongoods.com is a great place to shop for the holidays. I just picked up a Himalayan salt barbecue plank. It's a square, 8 inches by 8 inches, 1.5 inches thick, made of Himalayan salt. You put it on the grill and your veggies on top of the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Oh my gosh, what a way to season the veggies with the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Just one of the thousands of items for sale for everyone at uncommongoods.com. I love that when you're shopping for Christmas gifts at uncommongoods.com, you've got stuff for readers, for nerds, for travelers, for foodies, sports fans, for music lovers. Everything under the sun can be found at uncommongoods.com. The kids are like, "Dad, what do you want for Christmas?" And I go, "Well, just go to uncommongoods.com and find something that you know I'll like. And you can do the same thing. And I've got a special deal for you. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zane. That's uncommongoods.com/Zane. You'll get 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary."
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
I go, "Yeah, well, in the meantime, I'm here to let you know that there's going to be music up here all weekend. Tomorrow, Mutilated Puppy will take the stage, followed by Anal Pubes and Smiling Hitler. Saturday, same thing, more great bands. But the big story going on Friday, join me at the Craft Show. Craft Show goes from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. And I'll be there from 3 to 5 looking at the crafts that everyone else is looking at. So come see me. I'll be in City Park. Jeremy writes, quote, "Hey! I'm EZ. I was on the radio in mid-Michigan, then in Knoxville. So I'm reading the resume like Ben Glaze on Bombity Podcast. I got fired from that station and joined with another show. Then we moved to Jersey. Then we moved to Grand Rapids. And I was in that show for a long time. I went from there to WBBL. And now you can hear me on Q100. That's what Ben would do. Hey, this is my story. Nobody cares. So then a little bit of time passes. This goes on for about 2 minutes. So I'm like, you know what? I'm like, guys, I have been fluent with these 2 minutes. I've said all I can say, but it is something. So that is it. And then I walk off. And then the guitar player connects his Gibson SG. Now, these actually, it's a really good band, the Knockoffs. As much as I'm being a silly about the names and stuff like that, the Knockoffs are a very good band. That's why Andy here was so excited about playing. This is his Super Bowl halftime show. Okay? Look at Darla just looking at me. She's such a doll. Oh, my God. The guitar player. He saves the day. And I'm like, why didn't you start with this? He goes, "Does anybody know?" And he's Sam Cooke. Oh, Sam Cooke's a goddamn legend. Late, great Sam Cooke. And he starts just by plucking on his guitar and singing the sweetest damn Sam Cooke song. I hadn't heard of it, but it was fantastic. Again, buying them the time that they need. They got the monitor from the store across the street. They're in business. A little bit more time passes, but I'm still not. It's like now 10 o'clock. And I've already talked. Now, if I go back up there again, it's going to be weird. The Knockoffs now are on their own. They're going to have to get their shit together. They're going to say, "All right, here we go." If I go back up and just say, "Ladies and gentlemen, the Knockoffs," it's going to be weird. Everybody knows who the Knockoffs. So I knocked off. I left. Time I get home, well past 10 o'clock. By the time I let the dogs out, get ready for Betty Bye. Get the meal. Make sure that the meal is ready for the mice. It's 11. Fall asleep probably like 11:20, 11:30. Up during the night to go potty because I drank way too much water. That's the makings for a disaster Friday. This is all the long way of telling you why this podcast is so late today, because I get up at 4:50, do the radio show. Get back here. I get back here an hour earlier because JC takes over at 9 a.m. Let the dogs out. And it's like, when I was driving home, I was like, I mean, this is a short drive home. This is 10 minutes. My eyes, I'm like falling asleep. I'm like, oh, this is bad. This is really bad. So I go, fuck this shit. I'm listening to my body, and then that's it. Chris says, "Water, you chugged a 2-liter of Faygo grape." Shut up. Let the dogs out when I got in here today. I go, I got to crash. I have to crash. And I'm not going to set an alarm for when I'm supposed to wake up. I'm just going to sleep, and that's it. So I woke up. It was closer to 12 than it was 11:30. I got a text from number 3, program director Joe Mama. She says, "ZZ, we need you at the radio station at 2. So you can set up get all your remote stuff to set up." Like, sounds good. I'll be there. What does that mean? Now, at the time, I'm like, I got to go and talk to these folks. Okay. For me to just dip is so rude. I've done it in the past, but people worry about me. We have such a relationship that if I just no call, no show, people get freaked out. They'll be texting my wife saying, hey, we don't know where EZ is. What happened to him? So this is basically going to be it because I got to go. But I did want to say hello and share those moments that I thought were fantastic. Both the invasion by the mice. Look at, she's giving me her little paw now. And also the story of Andy and his band, the Knockoffs, and the drama that went on there, because I thought that that was a fantastic story to tell. So what I'm essentially telling you is this is pretty much going to do it for my broadcast from Fear Bunker North. And I would say we pulled it off as best as we can. Chris says, that's it. I remember that used to be something from back then. Stevie says she almost texted me. I think we did fairly well considering the technical challenges that we had. I'm always excited to talk to you guys, but I have to leave it there. So next time I speak to you, Maureen says, I'm glad you're okay. I'm one of the worriers. See, you love me and I love you. I'm lucky to have an audience like this. This is a wonderful arrangement, frankly. Okay. So I am, I'm just gonna, post this and then call it a week. I got a great idea in the chat. Well, you guys are full of content. You're always, you never let me down with the jokes. Thank you to Chris because he gave me a great suggestion. Asshole of the day, the mice. Oh, that's so true. My God. All right. I'll leave it right there. And I'll talk to you Monday from back home in beautiful Hudsonville, Michigan. Thank you for being here, part of this abbreviated edition of the Eric St. Show podcast. Till next time, thank you, folks, and bye-bye. Welcome in, welcome in. So I'm going to explain to you the dynamic of dog letting in and out procedures here at the household. It has been numerous times that Pooh Bear has let out the dogs and then they vanish. I at least know when they're lost. Several times Benny gets dropped off by the neighbors. Oh, I had no idea it was out. Oh my God. And she like let him out. Today, when I was downstairs, I went down to get some coffee for the start of the show. Just before that, Pooh Bear takes the dogs out. Benny, O'Neill, Darla, and Bruce. She's got Darla and Bruce on leashes. Typically, I mean, even if O'Neill runs off, he's got the tracker. You can't not know where he is. Just pick up your phone, hit a button, and there it is. It says he's over at Slot Keys, or he's over at Don Gouda's, or maybe down the street over at Keith's house. I don't know. No problem. The problem is when you don't know, you don't remember what you did with him. Like if you have like a brief lapse of like Alzheimer's or something like that. A spell. I'm downstairs making my coffee and the doorbell rings. And it's my neighbor, Etta. She goes, hi, Eric. I go, hey, what's up? And I see O'Neill on a leash with these three boys from the neighborhood. Three blonde-headed Dutch boys. these boys found your dog. I go, okay, all right. Now, I know that Diana 5 minutes before said she was going to take the dogs out. So I'm like, thank God. I go, thank you so much. I should have given him like a reward. But I said, ah, fuck it. They were walking around the neighborhood with my dog. And Etta happened to see our dog. And she knows, she lives just lives a couple doors down. She goes, and the kid said, hey, do you know whose dog this is? Yes, I do. So I bring O'Neill in. Benny is already in the house. Now, what has happened? Well, I don't know what's happened. Let me just tell you in the order that it happened. So I see Benny in here. Now O'Neill is in. And I go, well, where's Pooh? And then Bruce is in there, too. Diana is in the backyard sitting on the step with Darla looking at her phone. Darla's just enjoying the sun. So all three dogs are now in, and Darla is out with Diana. And I open the door, and I go, have you seen O'Neill? She goes, yeah, I let him in. I go, well, I don't know that you did. The neighbors just dropped him off. No, they didn't. I go, 30 seconds ago, I was at the front door getting this dog dropped off. No, I let him in. I go, okay. I don't know, Diane. Maybe it was magic. Maybe it was voodoo. All I'm telling you is, under your watch, you went out with the dog, and my neighbor brought the dog home. Oh, well, there's no way. It just didn't happen. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what you did. You know, I know that when you're walking around, I'm going to piss her off right now. You watch this. This is going to blow up. But I don't care. This is going to be fun. She's right in the other room. I don't know what the fuck she's doing. She's got her phone at her at all times. She's always just staring at the fucking thing. Chris says O'Neill is an escape artist, obviously. Chris Perry says... You're right.
Hello, you have reached.
You're right, Diana. This is all a figment of my imagination. Stevie says, I feel like his safety is at risk with her. You know, I'm going to read that comment to her, but I'm not going to tell her that it came from you. She's going to call me back. We need to discuss this caper. Absolutely. So that was interesting. Son of a bitch. Stevie says, I don't want her to kick my ass. No, I won't tell her it came from you. Matt H. says, get that dog on America's Got Talent. He's fucking magic. Kenny says, tell her that I said it. Okay, so Kenny will take the fall for that. I will definitely bring her in here in mere moments. There is a... broadcaster doing the Olympics for Australia. He just got fired. Like they pulled him off the Olympics coverage. He was doing ladies swimming. This is what he said that caused such an uproar. Kind of weird audio.
Well, the women just finishing off. You know what women are like. Hanging around, you know, doing the makeup.
Outrageous, boy. Some of the men are doing that as well.
They're doing the makeup. Yeah, yeah, okay. All right.
Come in. Okay, so that's it. The women are, whatever, they were getting ready. He said, you know how they are. They got to do their hair. They got to do their makeup. And then the way the other commentator reacts, I thought sounded playful.
Well, the women just finishing off. You know what women are like. Hanging around, you know, doing the makeup.
Outrageous, boy. Some of the men are doing that as well.
They're doing the makeup.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay. Okay, that was playful at worst. The way the article that I saw that Chris Kay sent along, it was, hold on a second. Let's get Diana back on there.
Hello?
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I just wanted to discuss this caper.
What caper?
The one with the dog.
Oh, yes.
What? Are you making a salad or something?
No, I'm getting ready to go to work. So I'm packing my snacks.
I'm going over the comments from audience members who are reacting to the story of O'Neill.
That what? Yeah, I'll tell you exactly what happened, okay? Are you ready?
Yeah, well, you told me that it didn't happen, and it was, and then, so I guess it was magic.
Well, no, what I meant was I didn't leave him outside, but what happened was I took all four of them out. Benny and O'Neill were not on a leash. Darla and Bruce were on a leash.
Correct.
So they were kind of fiddling around. Darla went pee, but they wanted to go out front. So I come in the back door with all four of them. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I go to the front door with still Darla and Bruce on the leash. And I open the front door and they drag me down the stairs. So the door didn't close all the way. And he must have snuck out while the door was open a bit and I didn't see him.
Well, then who closed the door?
Well, I came back and closed the door, but I didn't know he had escaped.
How much time passed from when the dogs pulled you to when you closed the door? Like an hour?
No, it was literally like less than a minute. Because they pulled me so hard that I actually dropped Bruce's leash. So I had to run down the stairs, step on his leash so he wouldn't run away, go back up the stairs and shut it. And I didn't see O'Neill anywhere. I didn't see he was on the stairs or anything. So yeah. I shut the door. And then I come back and then all of a sudden he's at our door.
By the way, probably not a good idea for you to take two dogs on the leash. Those two especially. They will pull you to the ground. I don't know
if that's a
great idea.
You mean like tear my rotator cuff again?
Yeah, I think you need to just take one.
That's what they did. They tore my rotator cuff.
Okay. Yeah, all right. That's why we don't want that to happen. So I think you should just take one.
Okay, I will do that.
I don't want you to get... What's going on over there? What are you doing?
I told you I'm getting ready for work. Why? What's the matter?
Well, it's just, I mean, it was really weird because the neighbors at the door and, you know, I'm like, I don't, you know, they think I'm an idiot. And then you go, well, no, that's not true. That didn't happen.
Well, yeah. But what I meant was I didn't leave him outside. That's what I meant. And I had no idea that he went up through the front door. So I'm like, what the hell? That's
I have an audience. Oops. Kenny says, I feel like O'Neill's safety is at risk with you. What do you think about that comment?
With me?
Yeah.
Or you?
No. He says, I feel like O'Neill's safety is at risk with her.
Is this Kenny from Nashville?
Yeah.
Kenny from Nashville can...
Say it.
Come visit.
Wait, what?
I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to say anything mean.
No, absolutely say something mean. Everybody says mean shit to him.
No.
So you're going to let him get away with that? If he thinks that you're not right for the dog, he thinks you're going to hurt the dog?
Everybody's a dickhead now and then.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, I got to go to work now. I'm going to be late.
Okay, I'll see you around.
Okay, I love you.
Okay, I love you too.
Bye.
That went better than I thought it was going to go. I thought she was going to lose her shit about that. But no, she did not. Come visit? Exactly. What? Yeah, the way that, back to the swimmer guy. The way that was written, you have to hear it, by the way. Eurosport has dropped an Olympic swimming commentator after the inappropriate, in quotes, comment. Whenever you have a comment that's made and you put it in a written form, it always seems a particular way. You have to really hear with your own, because you can't convey the tone. Unless if in this article you wrote, Bob Ballard said with a silly tone, laughing and chuckling all the way about women making a joke, and his partner, commentator Lizzie Simmons, also laughed along and said, well, boys can do that too, or men can do that too. It was all sounded playful. They actually need to write that in the written account, because the way it's written here, he sounds like an asshole. And she sounds like she was offended, because it's written as, well, the women just finishing up. You know what women like, hanging around, doing their makeup. Co-commentator Lizzie Simmons, who swam at the 2012 games, reacted on air by describing the comments as, quote, outrageous. And that's it. It doesn't give any type of, and you heard it. You heard what I played. During a segment of Eurosport's coverage, then Eurosport made the announcement that, let's see. Yeah, there was. During a segment of Eurosport's coverage, commentator Bob Ballard made an inappropriate comment. To that end, we have removed from our commentary roster. He has been removed from our commentary roster with immediate effect. Wow, this is just bullshit. When I read it, I went, well, yeah, you got to learn not to do that. You can't say stuff like that. But then I actually went and listened to it and fuck off. Okay, that is just so stupid. And if you're Lizzie Simmons, you need to go to bat for the guy. I'm going to check that out one more time so we can all hear the tone of this.
Well, the women just finishing off. You know what women are like. Hanging around, you know, doing the makeup.
Outrageous, boy. Some of the men are doing that as well.
They're doing the makeup. Yeah, yeah. All right.
Come on. Yeah, that's. He's the guy in front wearing the blue. It's a good thing he's got his good looks to fall back on. I should talk. Bob Ballard did make a comment. Bob Ballard speaks out. He addressed the comment on X. The comments I made during the Australian freestyle relay victory ceremony on Saturday have caused some offense. It was never my intention to upset or belittle anyone. And if I did, I apologize. I am a massive advocate of women's sports. I shall miss the Eurosport team dearly and wish them all the best for the rest of the Olympics. No further comment to be issued. Thank you. I would have gone with, actually, it says here, in a follow-up, Ballard implored fans not to direct any of their outrage at his broadcast colleague Lizzie Simmons. P.S. Don't pile on at Lizzie Simmons 1, please. She has nothing to do with this, Ballard wrote. No, she doesn't, but she should have said something after they yanked him. You know? Instead, she did the old free beer. You know, sometimes when you say nothing, you're actually hurting. She should have said something. This is bullshit. All of this is bullshit. He should 100% still be on the broadcast. What a stupid, stupid fucking group of people. Matt wrote, he was removed from our roster because he offended the broads. I don't know if I want to say that. That's something that could actually get someone fired, you idiot. I say that with love. Yeah, what he should have said in his comment, instead of all that, I apologize if anyone was offended. I would have said, the comments I made during the Australian Freestyle Relay Victory Ceremony on Saturday were awesome. It was my intention to be silly. We both had a good laugh. If you are offended, suck my dick. And to the assholes who fired me, eat my ass when I'm shitting. Fuck you. Sign, Bob Ballard. That's what he should have wrote. My God. How ridiculous is this? The guy should still have that job. Back to Diana and EZ. That'll be the counterpoint to Zane during a future blowout with Kenny. Well, Diana's... Well, hey, mate. Diana said I could come visit. Kenny says she loves me, LOL. Speaking of love, I wanted to go over something with you. So, I had to make sure that this is 100% unlisted. Because what I'm about to say has potential to be awkward if I don't 100% make sure that it is unlisted. I'll just keep it below the board. Or keep it above the board. Below the board. So, this past week at Q100, I bonded with a lot of the staff. And they're all very, very nice. But one person in particular seemed, I don't know, I just got the vibe that this nice lady wanted to take me home. And I'm pretty sure of that. I mean, all I'm doing is I'm walking around doing my thing and, well, I'll just start from the beginning. So the word got out at the radio station that I have no running water, which, by the way, a great question was asked to me. EZ, are you showering when you're up there? Are you going a whole week without a shower? No. Just down the road a bit is this wonderful state park with this awesome shower building. And you give them like $5 and you can go take a shower. So that's what I would do. But they got a... I walked into the radio station with my water jugs. I might have told this part of the story before. What are you doing? I'm getting some water. What for? I don't have any running water. You don't? No, I have electricity. That's it. I started filling up the water. That water has PFAS in it. Don't you dare drink it, Eric Zane. I go, I'm not worried about it. I've been drinking PFAS my whole life. Okay, it's your own risk. And this was the nice lady who I think wanted to take me home. Hold on a second here. So time passes. Lady comes up to me and she says, so how are you showering? Well, this lady is single, by the way. And you might want to add ready to mingle. I go, yeah, I told her what I told you. Go to the state park. She goes, oh, well, you can just come over to my house and shower. And right away I go, oh, you know, I appreciate that so much. I'm just going to go there. It's cool. So that alone was something. And it was very matter of fact. Fast forward. I mean, you know, like the term shoot your shot? I don't think that was a full-on shot. That was just something that got my spider sense tingling. I don't think that's a full shoot your shot. Bruce just busted into the room. Hey, big guy. Hey there, baby guy. Fast forward to canoe race day. It's been a long day. People are having a couple drinks to unwind. I'm pretty much done with my commitments. All I got to do is go back home and go nighty-night, jammy time, bedtime. I'm saying my goodbyes to everybody. I got my hand on a handrail, and this lady, nice lady, comes walking up to me, same lady. And she goes, okay, EZ, it's good to see you. I go, it's good to see you too. And she puts her hand on my hand and says, and remember, the shower is always free. And she has this wry smile on her face. And I'm like, and I go, yeah, okay, I know it. Thank you. Ha, yeah. And another person, a dude, heard it. The guy works in a radio station. He goes, I heard that. Uh-oh. I'm pretty sure she wanted to take me home. I got to tell Pooh Bear about that. Oh, she's at work now. Shit. Oh, my God. She would have killed me. She would have killed me. Because I think she has been lonely for, like, the past couple of years. The poor thing had a boyfriend and, he died. So, you know, I think that she wanted to take me home. I don't know if you feel the same way about it, but I think you guys do. Which, by the way, I gotta fucking fix my hair. It's all fucked up. It's way too long. Amy says she had a lady boner for you. Chris says, to be fair, you're a northern 9, maybe a 10. Oh, yeah. They see me, and I'm like the exotic one. Matt says, remember, Hawk 2 is always free. Kenny says, you haven't told Diana yet. No, I haven't. In fact, she just got home. She got home like today when I was podcasting. And then we both took a nap. Bob says, oh, yeah, she had something tingling, too. Chris says she was soaked. Matt says he was removed from our roster because he offended the broads. Okay, that's for the previous story. Sorry. Chris says he still is Mr. 10 up there. Amy laughs at Northern 9. Yeah. With my excessive tittage and my double chin, they don't even care about that. Can you imagine how much of a disappointment I would be when someone's waiting for my yogurt cannon to fire and only thing that comes out is... It sounds like this. It's that ridiculous. Yeah, it's a good thing that I just said, I'll see ya. You know that song, nah, nah, honey, I'm good. I could have another, but I probably shouldn't. I got someone at home, and if I stay, I might not leave alone. So, no, I got it. She wasn't my type. Just wanted to share that. I think I got hit on pretty hard. I get nervous. Like, even if I was single and someone shot their shot, whether a dude or a girl, doesn't matter, because I might take them both home. I would not know how to react. I can just picture myself, because I get very nervous. Kenny says, how old is she? I couldn't tell you. I don't know. Because up there, it's a bit confusing. You can have someone who is like 34. They look like they're 34. I'm sorry, I got that wrong. Who actually is 34 years old, but looks like they're 77. That can happen. I'm not saying that that's happening here. But that is, I think, like 50% of the female population, once you get from Clare, Michigan, which is right near the center of the state, up, it's the hard living line. If you get north of the hard living line, you age like a dog. You know? I mean, like, if you have a dog that's like 10 years old, that's like a 70-year-old animal. So the hard living line is just a real thing in Michigan. Kenny says everyone my age on dating apps looks like they're 10 years older than I am. It's kind of freaky. Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, I don't look at dating apps, but whenever I see someone my age, I'm always like, God damn, that guy looks old. And then I look at myself in the mirror and I say, yeah, he looks like you, you fucking idiot. Chris describes it as US 10, as the hard living line. That's true. In fact, if you're driving down US 10 in Michigan, which goes east to west, it crosses the state. It says you have hit the hard living line. You are crossing the hard living line. Or you are driving on the hard living line. Everything north of here, people look like they've been living hard. You know? It's a very, very real thing. All right. So I'll break that down with Pooh Bear tomorrow about getting hit on at the radio station. Oh, there was one more thing. There's this other lady that works there. And by the way, when I'm there at the radio station, it's all ladies. It's usually three, sometimes four ladies and me doing the radio show. And they, in addition to the lady I was just telling you about, there's another lady there who is also, she's the one who takes care of me, who I told you about. So, Eric, did you bring food today? She's got that Northern Michigan Canadian accent thing going. I didn't. Oh, no. You got to have something, some nourishment. And she's like a couple years older than me, maybe, or about the same age. You got to have some nourishment, Eric. I'm going to the store to get you something to eat. Comes back and she brings me a Danish. Thank you. When they're all together, there's three. There are no like you don't have to worry about HR at all there. You could say whatever you want. So it's me and the three ladies, and I'm being very quiet in this conversation. This is at the radio station, right in the fucking office. And this is a double-wide trailer, this radio station. I love it. This reminds me of Z93, man. This is the way it was. And I forget the context, but the comment that was made by this lady who likes to take care of me, as Kenny writes, you got women up there trying to feed you, shower you, and bone you. Lady who takes care of me, we were having this conversation. She goes, I tell you, if my husband wasn't with me, if he died, all I need is a guy for sex and a ride to the airport. None of this friend stuff. Just have sex and get the fuck out. And this is like a passing conversation in the hallway. This doesn't happen south of the hard living line. This is a regular thing. I've been trying to figure out how to work that story in, but it was, and I'm just like, going, oh, yeah, she goes, I mean it. So, Kenny, maybe if you did move up north of the hard living line, you would be able to, I think you need to lower your standards, okay? You need to be on the prowl for women whose husbands died, whose husband has died north of the hard living line. And then women like this who, you know, they don't want to cuddle you and your fluffy body. And she even said, she goes, none of that cuddle stuff. Just get in there, do it, and get out. Swear to God. So there you go, Kenny. Amy points out this, which is also true. Kenny, the women to men ratio is 10 to 1 because of the hard living line. All the men croak early. Very true. You get a guy there, he's 42, he might as well be 104. So you get up there, Kenny, and you'll probably be a solid, once you're north of the hard living line, a solid 7.5. And the women there, they'll describe you as like a tasty morsel. Because I don't weigh more than like 300 pounds, they look at me as a unicorn. But you, it's like a normal stud. So the conversation might be, oh my God, he's got a great set of tits. I can't wait to sink my teeth into him. And the next thing you know, you've got three women boning you. All right. Chris adds lots of welfare up there too, Kenny. You'd be practically rich. Alan says those Nashville hussies can't be trusted, Kenny. Exactly. Those women are cheating type. You got to get north of the hard living line and just like burst on the scene. You know how much jizz you'll be spraying, Kenny? God damn. Kenny says, I just want companionship and honesty. Well, then don't come up there. All they want is your cock. I just want companionship and honesty. Pfft, whatever. I'm going to live here for the rest of my life. They'd need to be moving down south, LOL. You guys would not believe all the nonsense that's gone on in my dating life just from January of this year alone. I think I'm just done. Yeah. Chris is on top of this discussion with get yourself a pickup and head north. Man, the second you get across US 10, otherwise known as the Dirt People Highway, says Chris, you'll be laying pipe. You'll have women every day of the week. And they got names like Bertha and Beulah, Beatrice, Bernice, and other names that begin with B. Chris adds, you can throw your Play-Doh in anyone up there, Kenny. Pack up the Pacer and head on up. Bob says, these Pennsylvania women ain't much better. A Midwest 7 sounds awesome. All right, I just wanted to share those two little tidbits about my relationship with the ladies in the office at the radio station. And that's when I've got that fucking chin going. We need to look at that picture again. That picture was just so fantastic. I posted it on Facebook. Look at this. Look. Look at that chin. Oh, no. What have I done? Even the picture with Blaha and I. You're not supposed to have that. Look at. See this big roll here? There is no jawline whatsoever. This 79-year-old man looks younger than I do here with this fucking disgusting neck roll. Something has to be done. This is critical. Holy shit.
Oh, that is embarrassing.
Sorry if you also have a neck roll, but I can't stand neck rolls. It's fucking horrible, in my opinion. Holy shit. The thing is, you can't really tell from face looking right at me, except for this. I have these jowls that hang down like this. That's because there's so much weight on my face. It's pulling my skin down like fucking droopy dog. Bob says that's getting very close to the Jim Norton lack of chin line. I don't know the bit. All right. I'm going to leave it right there, ladies and gentlemen. As always, you're the best. I'll talk to you later. Till next time, thank you and bye-bye.